Hard to believe, but we are just 3 weeks prior to the Passover, 2 weeks prior to the Passover. Excuse me. I'm already hot. The fan is only as high as it goes already. All of us, you know, it's a great lead-in. Thank you, Mr. Meese. It's a great lead-in to today's message, why we do self-evaluations. I want to address a how. I think, you know, our minds are on this topic. Paul wrote in the Corinthians that we need to evaluate ourselves to see if we are in the faith. 1 Corinthians 13, or 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ is in you? We have to know if Jesus Christ is in us. We have to test ourselves to see if we are in the faith. Are we a believer and a doer of what God tells us to do? Watching my time, I think I'm already over time. Because I started adding things as Mr. Meese was talking. But I want to go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. The reason why I want to go to Matthew 7, as we examine ourselves, some of us can self-deceive ourselves. Mr. Meese hit on this, the possibility of not seeing ourselves clearly. And there's a fearful thing to do that. In Matthew 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Mr. Meese quoted that. I want to continue. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" These things were done in the name of Christ. These were things done in the name of God. Prophesied, inspired teaching, cast out demons, and done wonders. You would think the individual was close to God. Verse 23, he says, "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Is it possible for us to deny ourselves where we are in our evaluation process and think we walk on water? We stand upright. You know, the scripture says, "Take heed, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall." The evaluation process is a very important thing. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? We have to be in the faith, living what we have been taught and what we believe, because anytime you believe something, then you must be a doer of what you believe. Examine and test. Review against standards and see proof of performance. An examination and test should reveal that Jesus Christ is in us. Paul, writing to the Philippians, notes that we are to have the mind of Christ in us, to be part of us, to be dwelling in us, to guide our every thought, action, word, and deed. This is Philippians 2:7. After conversion, after being called by God, shown repentance, are baptized and forgiven, and are given God's gift of the Holy Spirit, we then see ourselves differently. We behold ourselves from a new perspective. We have to. If we don't, something's amiss in that process. 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, as being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." With unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. When we look into the mirror, we see ourselves. Everyone here looked into a mirror before you arrived. You make sure that the hair is done. I made sure that it's shaved. I got the clothes. I got the tie on right. We all looked into a mirror. As we look into a mirror spiritually, we are to see God's glory in us. If we don't see Jesus Christ in us, we need to continue and deepen the evaluation. We are to behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We behold, we see God's majesty, his perfect law of liberty, and we are to see God's majesty, God's mercy, God's plan in action by the changes that were made in us. We are to see a different person when we evaluate ourselves. I can't begin to tell you how different I am from 1968 when I first stepped foot into church. Having studied 4 years, but it wasn't until I started seeing the example of others, seeing how to apply God's Spirit, how important that was. James 1, verse 22. Just after Hebrews. James 1, verse 22. So we behold as in a mirror the glory of God. We are to see God in us. Here he says, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In Matthew 7, an individual who serves God, and God blessed the work, not the individual. Did you see that? He blessed their work. Inspired teaching, demons removed, wonders done for the individuals, not for the man who was doing it, because he was deceiving himself. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Hey, I look pretty good. I look marvelous today. Yeah. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Not what he looked like, but what kind of man he was. The character, the mind, the heart. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in all that he does. We observe ourselves in a mirror, and we are to become doers of the work. We are to see God's work in us when we observe ourselves. We are to look into the perfect law of liberty and continue into it. We are to see if we are in the faith and test ourselves. We are to examine ourselves, especially this time of year. There is a phrase in Scripture that we will explore today that will help with our personal examination and with the testing and proving process. And what a phrase it is. I love certain phrases. Therefore, you know, when the Bible says therefore, you want to find out what happened after. This took place, now therefore, what happened? So that. This took place, so that happened. It's important. There's another phrase that we're going to get to. Jesus Christ was taken prisoner. He was tried illegally. He was found innocent and yet was scourged. And scourging by itself is a death sentence. I won't go into the details. Jesus Christ, having been scourged by Pilate, stood before the governor and the crowds, his body ripped by spasms of pain and agony and blood dripping from open wounds, probably swaying a little bit, wearing the crown of thorns the soldiers had jammed down on his head, wrapped up in that purple robe. He had endured the scourging and he remained standing. So impressed, Pilate spoke, saying, "Behold the man." What fortitude, what character, what a man. Take a look at this as a man's man. He used the word behold. And anytime you read that in the book, you want to see what they're talking about. Behold. Voila. We were in Boulogne, France, and I did some sort of exchange in the boulangerie, a bakery. And when I got changed, she said, "Voila." Voila. Well, that just means there it is. Because you don't do it by hand. It was done on a little tray. Voila. And I go, there it is. Well, behold. Behold. In this instance, it was an interjection of surprise. Wow, look, see, Jesus Christ was still standing after being scourged. He did not expect that. Pilate said later, he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." Of course, that kind of blew off the roof of the crowd as they demanded Jesus' death. And Pilate finally relented, saying, "You crucify him. I find no fault with him. Behold the man." That phrase was used another time. When the Jews beheld Jesus, they saw the object of their anger, their wrath. They saw a man beaten, wounded, and bruised. They saw a man suffering to the point of dying. A man they wanted to die because he was tearing up their traditions. They were tearing up what they understood to be their national religion. When Pilate beheld Jesus as a man, he was a man's man, a man that impressed him with his character and strength and rightness. I want to use that phrase again from John 1. Let's go to the first book of John. Sorry, chapter John. First chapter of John. First book doesn't work because that John 1, 2, and 3, that's the end of the book, the end of the Bible. John 1. In John 1 through 14, it's a discussion that confirms the existence of Jesus Christ as God, that he existed before creation, that he was with the Father. He became human and lived a sinless life and died for mankind and was resurrected and is seated again with the Father. Jesus Christ was not a created being. Verses 1 through 14 is very frustrating for a number of people. John the Baptizer. I got over saying John the Baptist because there's a group that has taken over that phrase, and that's not what John was. He was a baptizer. John the Baptizer. Let's go to verse 6. He was called to perform a specific task, to be witness to Jesus Christ so that those who would follow would believe that the Messiah had arrived. That was one of his assignments. Verse 6. John 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. I went too far, sorry. John was about preaching repentance and baptism by water. He was the baptizer. John the Baptizer, that was his assignment, as well as being a witness to Jesus Christ. John was being challenged as to who he was, what he was doing, why he was doing it, and frankly, what he was doing. Verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you? Who are you?" He confessed that and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And he said, verse 23, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." Isaiah 40. This is taken from Isaiah 40. "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah said. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethsaida. Bethsaida is near Jerusalem. Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Of course, he baptized Jesus Christ. The next day, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus walking toward him and said, "Behold! Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me. For he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. John the Baptizer came baptizing repentance of sin and to be a witness to Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Behold the man. Behold the man. What a phrase. In this instance, it was not a surprise. When he said, behold the man, he was talking as an imperative action. Watch him. Take note of him. Understand him. Seek the truth about this person. This is a different word than used by Pilate, which was an interjection that, wow, did you see him? He's still standing after being scourged. What a thought. Now, the Greek use of meaning to behold is, quote, not the mere act of seeing. Not the mere act of seeing, but the actual perception, developing an understanding to gain a belief and understanding of the individual. John was telling those within earshot, take note of Jesus. Here was the man. Study the man. Watch this man. A little farther down. Oh, two things. He is identified as a sacrifice. The lamb was used in sacrifices. He was not listed as the bear. He wasn't listed as a shark. He wasn't listed as any of the predators. He was listed as a lamb. The Lamb of God was a sacrifice. And his assignment was to take away the sin of the world. What a revelation in that one phrase. Jumping down to John 1:30. Oh, no, 35. Again, the next day, so these are rapid, one day upon another, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. This is the second time the word behold was used. And the inference is, you must get to know this individual. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus Christ. John the Baptizer gave up his disciples to Jesus Christ. His assignment was done. He identified the Messiah, and he was finished. His work was done. An interesting point, we discussed it about a month ago here. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which is to say teacher, where are you staying? And he said, come and see. And we talked about that, come and see. Wasn't to look at his furniture, wasn't to look at the two-bedroom apartment, upstairs bedroom, elevator, who knows? But to come and see his life. Come and see. Come and understand where he lived. He lived by the kingdom of God in all that he said and did. Here we're told to behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Not just watch him. Not just gawk or spy at him. Not to watch him or be entertained by him. Remember, when he fed the thousands with fish and bread, that was entertaining. He had thousands interested in what he was up to, but they weren't interested in him. They weren't interested to behold him, to understand. Back in 1971, yes, I was that old, I went to the Greek theater. There was a group called the Ukrainian Dance Company. They were performing there at the Greek theater. Greek theater sits just under 6,000 people. I'm walking in, and he's got this wide pathway to walk in. Lets thousands of people come and go, and I'm heading toward my seat. I'm walking, 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 and people start looking at me. And they're looking at me. Off to the side, they're looking at me. Some people are starting to stand. Now, I had looked in the mirror that day, and I know there's nothing special. Couldn't possibly be me. Could not. They're still looking at me. And I stopped. I said, it's not me. They could not be looking at me. And I stopped, and I turned around. 10 feet behind me was Glenn Ford, the award-winning actor who has 70 years in Hollywood. Got a little starlet on his arm. And they were beholding him. They were looking at him. They were gawking at him. Not me. And I quickly just got off to the side and let them, because it was unnerving to have, you know, a few hundred people stare at you. But they just wanted to say, hey, you know, down at the theater, I saw old Glenn Ford. Yeah, he's still active. He's still around. Yeah. They didn't want to learn of his life, his career, his strengths, his weaknesses. They wanted maybe an autograph or just to say they saw him. They just wanted to behold him. We can ask the question, how do we behold the man? How do we behold the man? Do we see Jesus as does society? A tall, long-haired Roman beauty who thinks that if we just believe on him and have a nice feeling in our heart, everything will be okay. Many people believe that Jesus Christ came to replace the old God of the Old Testament, who was a harsh God in their minds. And now it's time for the younger crowd. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth. Do we see an individual who was a man's man, the carpenter, whose character oozed out of every pore, a man who honored his father, fulfilling the plan they made together so many millennia ago, who loved so deeply that he was willing to die for all mankind? Do we see a man wounded and bruised for our sake, who suffered mightily so that we might live? We're told to let the mind of Jesus Christ be in us. We're to wear it, to make it part of us, to let it dwell in us. And this can't be done if we do not behold the Lamb of God, if we do not study the Lamb of God, if we do not understand the Lamb of God, if we do not seek to know him and compare ourselves in an examination with him. He is the standard. He is the standard. Matthew 11. Malachi doesn't work. Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from... I'm in the right spot, Matthew 11. Is this where I want to be? Yeah, this is where I want to be. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke here is that wooden binder that locks two oxen together so that they can work in unison. It also is a yoke where you got the Dutch maiden there with pails of milk on both sides, and it balances her as long as she can lift the total weight. We're to take his yoke. We're to take his obligation. Ooh. And when we examine ourselves, what is that? Obey God's law. Live God's law. Preach God's law. Teach God's law. Be an example of God's law. We take on his obligation, and then we are to learn. We follow his teaching. Jesus Christ taught the commandments of God. We understand cause and effect. He lived the commandments of God. There are many people who will tell you today, when you examine yourselves and you run into situations, WWJD, and that's an acronym for what would Jesus do? In this situation, what would Jesus do? The trouble with that is if we become the We become the arbiter of what is truth. The question should always be, what did Jesus Christ do? What did he do? 1 Peter 2, when we learn of him, when we follow his teachings, when we follow the commandments of God, 1 Peter 2, we add a little bit. 1 Peter 2, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh. We're going to have bosses who are not the nice guys. We're going to have, I started to say cellmates, co-workers. I lived in a cube for 34 years. It felt like a cell. But we're going to have cube mates. We're going to have co-workers who are not the good and the gentle. Be submissive to your masters with all fear. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongly. Okay. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults? You take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. We follow in his steps. He set us an example. He is the standard. When we do an evaluation, are we in the faith? We look to Jesus Christ. What did he do? What did he say? And then use those to see where we are. And then to test ourselves, meaning to prove ourselves. What are my actions doing? How am I acting and reacting? Am I following Jesus Christ? Am I following in his steps? We're told to go to Jesus Christ, to behold him, to learn of him, to learn from him, and to use Jesus Christ as the example for us to follow, and then look in that spiritual mirror, and do we see Jesus Christ? Or do much of ourselves kind of stick out? That's the hard part. In John 13:15, won't go there, Jesus Christ washed the disciples' feet. And he says, I do this, setting an example. And the example was humility, service, and care. When we look into the spiritual mirror and we examine ourselves to see in the faith, see if we're in the faith, are we seeing humility, service, and care? Jesus Christ in John 3:16, every sports fan knows that. He sacrificed himself for the world. And he loved those who hated him, even loved those who were killing him at the time. And as Mr. Meese touched on, do we love our enemies? Do we love our enemies? Do we put God first? Jesus Christ always put God first. Jesus Christ loved us with a godly love. Do we love others with the same godly love? I mean everyone. The good, the bad, the ugly. It's hard. It's hard. I had someone tell me being a Christian was so easy. Not a clue as to what true Christianity was. It's hard. Jesus Christ prayed for us. He was our intercessor. I always bring this up at the Passover, that Jesus Christ in John 17 says, I pray for them, talking about his disciples, and not only for them, but for those who will be called through the work, down through the ages. Jesus Christ, at that time, just before he gave up his life, prayed for you and I, specifically. He was an intercessor. He thought about our needs. When we think of one another, are we thinking about each other and praying for one another? Do we intercede? Do we pray on behalf of our brothers and sisters in need? Do we seek opportunities to serve one another? Not just keep the commandments. When we look into that mirror and examine ourselves, where are we on the spectrum of the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ was so much more than just the Ten Commandments. It was the application of God's law. It was the application of the love of God. It was the application that is so important. Where do we fit in? Luke 14. You know, life holds a lot of distractions for us. Luke 14. There are distractions that would keep us from being like Jesus Christ. I know this is not the direct how-to examine yourself. Sit down and ask yourself this question. But we're looking into the perfect law of liberty. We're looking into a mirror that says we should see the glory of God spiritually in us. We're not fixing our tie and combing our hair. We're creating in us a changed heart. Luke 14, verse 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciples. A very simple statement. Here it's an example of giving things up that distract us. Giving things up that hold us back. Well, even if it's our attitude, even if it's our opinion. The example of giving it all up, that is, now we do and say and use everything in our lives to and for God's glory. Whatever we have, it's now used as a gift back to God. If you need illumination, if you have a job, your boss is God. You just happen to be employed by your company. That's the way I thought of myself. We no longer live to ourselves, but belong to God. We reflect. We demonstrate God in us. We have the mind of Jesus Christ in us. And 1 John 2:16, you can put that in your notes. It says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. What did Jesus do? And we're to follow that example. The life of Jesus Christ becomes our way of life. If we say we abide or stand for or dwell with or make part of us the life of Jesus Christ, then we must be living as he lived. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Study him. See where you're not him. We should behold, learn about, study, examine those examples that he has shown us. Jesus Christ is our standard. And as we examine ourselves, we can ask, as David did, the most powerful, brave prayer there is. Yeah. A captive audience. I'm going to go there. Psalm 139. I think this is important. I use this a lot. I call it the brave prayer of David. Can we pray this? Can we go before God and ask this, request the same thing? Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. You know, when we examine ourselves, we do the looking. We got our list, maybe, and we try and understand ourselves. But take it before God and say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, my anxious thoughts, things that drive me crazy. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That is a true prayer. That is a true prayer of bravery. God, look into my heart, see what's wrong, and show me and lead me. Because he will. He will. We don't want to be deceiving ourselves when we examine ourselves. We don't want to say, well, I got this covered and I got that covered. And we get before God and he says, I never knew you. Oh, yeah, all this was done in spite of you. No, we don't want that. Oh, good. Okay. We come to the point where we can examine ourselves and test ourselves. We take a look and see, and then we see our actions, our performance. And how are we doing? Do we live by the gospel of the coming kingdom? Do we live by the kingdom of God today? Because that is going to be the standard for all eternity, and we already know about it today. Do we represent today the reality of the coming kingdom and what it will be like to everyone around us, regardless of the influence, regardless of the pressure, regardless of the manipulation, and regardless of the emotion, and regardless of opinion. Do we demonstrate Jesus Christ, God, and the kingdom that is coming? We examine ourselves. And are we trying to live a sinless life, free from the confining prison of this world? And are we representing Jesus Christ to the world around us? As we approach the Passover, we should be reminded, we are reminded to examine ourselves against the standard, the Lamb of God, to see if we've made those necessary changes in our lives. And as we study Him, learn from Him, emulate Him, follow His steps, do as He did, speak as He spoke, to the point where the mind of God, the mind of Jesus Christ, residing and dwelling and resident in us, is visible to the world around us, so that when we look in the mirror, we see the glory of God, not us. Over the next days and weeks, as we continue to study and behold the Lamb of God in our daily activities, let us continue to examine and test ourselves to see that we are indeed, that's a positive statement, in the faith, learning from God and changing our lives. Jesus Christ loved deeply and completely and totally. Do we? You know, we could ask that question, even to our enemies, those who wish us harm. Is there anyone whose feet we would not wash at foot washing service? Something to think about. Jesus Christ served and cared for others from the heart. Jesus Christ didn't judge others. It wasn't the time for judgment. Jesus Christ had compassion. Jesus Christ was humble. Do we appreciate, value, and esteem others better than ourselves? Jesus Christ was merciful. Do we exact our pound of flesh, or do we extend mercy as God extended mercy to us? That's always a good one. Jesus Christ was a peacemaker. Do we enter into the fray, or do we engage in peace talks when we've run into conflicts and difficulties? When we read through the Gospels, when we encounter the life and words of Jesus Christ, we must use them as the standard to examine our lives on a daily basis to see if we continue in the faith, and then look at our actions, our performance, and test ourselves to see if we are acting according to our beliefs. This is an awesome time as we go toward the Passover. It's an extraordinary time. Our calling is so great, and the time is getting short. Hope that was helpful.